Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Clark, joined, as always, by Ronnie Martin and Barnabas Piper. Boys, we have some business to take care of. And Pipe, I want you to launch right into your promo read. We were just talking off the air about just the money that's coming our way and in the business. And lest we get bogged down in the dollars and cents of this thing, boys, as we approach the holiday season, I want us to just take a moment, Big R, you and me, to reflect on how thankful we are for Pipe doing these promo reads, man. Mm. What a wonderful job he does. So I feel like right now is an occasion to do that. So Pipe, take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing we moved into this because it's easy for our imaginations to run away with us when we think of all the things we could do with the fat stacks of cash we got. So, yeah, so let's get into a book about being a pastor because that'll redirect our attention.
That'll bring us back down to earth, won't it?
That's right. That'll recenter us, as they say. So our sponsor this week is B&H Publishers and the book Mi Casa Uptown, which is for those of you who know a little Espanol, that means my house, uptown. Mm-hmm. And it's by Rich Perez, who's a pastor in Washington Heights in New York, which is just north of Harlem. And it's a really interesting book because basically he's looking, kind of telling the story of his life growing up in the neighborhood and then planting a church in the neighborhood, which is a hard thing to do because that means that his neighborhood has seen him at his worst in his teenage years, because that's when most of us were at our worst in our teenage years, and then having God change his life and now moving into a pastor position. But it's not just about church planting. It's really about how we can learn to love the place that we are most familiar with, instead of familiarity being something that makes us apathetic or contemptuous or any of those kinds of things. I was really interested in this for a couple reasons. One is because I never want to move back to Minneapolis where I grew up. I love it. I have a lot of nostalgia, but I think trying to go and live in the shadow of where I grew up would be really challenging. So to have a book like this was one that I was like, huh, I should take a look at that. That's an interesting idea. And then the second thing is because I had a chance to meet Rich at a conference we were at this past summer, and he is as genuine and humble and dynamic a person as you could hope. And so this is not one of those books from somebody who we kind of throw out at you, but somebody who I can vouch for his quality as a pastor, as a speaker, and then as a person. He was there with his wife, so I got to meet her. She's also an exceptional person. So the book is Mi Casa Uptown. It's available now, so get it wherever you like to buy books. As a faithful employee of Lifeway, I'm going to say you can get it at lifeway.com, but also get it at Amazon, get it at CBD, get it at Barnes & Noble, get it wherever you like to get books.
I feel like they should get it at Lifeway, Pipe, is out of loyalty to you.
Right. I mean, out of loyalty to me. I mean, it's not like I get a cut. In fact, if you went and found any of my Amazon links and then you bought it, I would actually make more from that. But as out of loyalty to me in spirit, you can go to Lifeway.
Nice of you to just drop that in there like that, Pipe. We appreciate it.
Well, that's how it works. I mean, what's funny is I post all sorts of links from Amazon online, you know, get this Kindle deal, get that Kindle deal. And people get offended. Some people get offended when they find out that I make like 4 cents per book that is bought through those links.
How dare you? You charlatan.
I know. I just want to go back and think, did you really think I was doing this out of the goodness of my heart?
Dude, I didn't even know you made 4 cents, Pipe. I mean, that feels mildly impressive to me. I didn't know there was even 4 cents.
Well, Pipe, between that and the podcast, are you quitting your job at Lifeway?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm working on it. Here's the thing. I need to get to the level where I can take advantage of the new Republican tax cuts for the rich. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost there. Once I can get the tax cuts or the tax advantages for like private jets that they're talking about, ooh, that's when I can quit my job. I'm not quite there though.
Take your blood money, Pipe. Oh, hey, Big T. It looks like what? It's not enough money off the ramp. Pipe needs a little bit more cachiche to float his boat. You know, I mean, what are we?
To float plane, his G5.
He's got to get that 4 cents per boat.
Oh my gosh. What a plane. Oh my gosh.
Boat. You're a plane guy, Pipe. If you could have any like extravagant purchase, like rich guy thing, it would be a plane.
A private jet would be pretty amazing. I mean, imagine this, like you're sitting at home one morning and you're like, ugh, it's 85 degrees in November in Tennessee. This blows. And you're like, you know what? I can fly to Aspen.
Yeah, man.
And so you do. That would be pretty incredible. You can't do that on a boat. Can't do That's it in true. A Tesla.
Pipe, you can always, I mean, you know, like the, you know, the Happy Rant jet is available to all three of us, dude. You can grab that thing whenever you want, man, as long as we're not in it.
I just, you know, I always feel bad just in case one of you was to have the whim to fly to one of your, your Mid-America specials, to the higher places in, you know, I don't know, Toledo or something.
Now, Pipe, we talked about like white dreadlock, white guilt last week. Would you have any like attendant white guilt if you made enough to buy a jet, a private jet, and you had one? Would you really be able to enjoy it, or would you feel like miserable about enjoying it?
But I mean, isn't that part of the pleasure of being a rich Christian, is like the misery of enjoying being a rich Christian?
Absolutely, and the guilt and the conflictedness.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's part of the holistic experience of being a wealthy American Christian. Absolutely. Is hating yourself for indulgence.
Yeah. Exactly. Big R, what about you? Rich guy, indulgent purchase. This isn't one of the official topics. I'm going off book here.
You're going rogue, man. You're going Rogue One on this one, man. You
rogue
like
Nation.
Little Star Wars. I don't know, man. I mean, I think a boat, a plane. I think I'd go for a house. A house somewhere like nice. I'd do a house. Like I'd do like a cabin in some like exotic like mountain ski resort area, I think I would do.
I know. You know what? I heard Trogues would drive by it, but not stop.
Trogues would come right up to the door, peek in, and just hurry and scurry into his car and drive the other way as fast as he can.
But here's the thing. If you can get that house.
Ask you about real estate in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah, constantly.
If you can get that house, you can also get the security that will keep away such riffraff. So
that's true. That's true.
You're safe. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter anyway. Like when we're talking about Trogues, that doesn't matter anyway, right? Mm. Yes.
Boys, you know what I would buy? I would buy a coffee plantation so that I could personally walk through the groves and inspect the coffee beans that are roasted and packaged by Lagaris Roasters each and every week. Lagaris Roasters is the official coffee supplier of the Happy Rant podcast. If you haven't done so already, run, don't walk, to happyrantpodcast.com. Purchase a bag of fresh Lagaris Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend, and you'll be glad that you did. So, boys, I would just become more of a coffee tycoon than I am now. And I feel like the private jet would come in time, you know, because I would have to have a way to get to the coffee plantation. And,
Well, if Hector keeps selling coffee the way that he is right now, the a jet would be in your future. Probably a very near future.
Might be a timeshare between me and Heck, but that's okay. I mean, we can sit down with a calendar at the beginning of the year and kind of suss out who gets what week with the jet. I mean, that's fine.
We can timeshare a jet? I mean, is that a thing?
We could all go in. Oh, wow. If the three of us went in, we should look in on that.
Go in on the jet.
Yeah. I mean, and if you happen to want it on like the same weekend, you just sort of find the itinerary that drops one person at their luxurious location, and then just hops onto the next luxurious location, I mean, and everybody wins.
Yeah, I can just see it now, babe. Now hand me that bill. That's not yours. That's mine. That's the timeshare for the jet. Don't worry about it. We'll chat about that later.
All right. So here's the question: What Christian celebrities would you most and least want to have a private jet timeshare with?
Oh, Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Based on Jared C's travel schedule, according to Instagram, I would not want to share a jet with him because he would be hogging that son of a gun.
Oh, so much speaking pipe. So in demand, Jared C. He's a celebrity.
Jared C.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I would share one with Jared C, and I would paint a huge blue check onto the side.
It's the only one he's got.
Exactly.
I think I would just name the jet just Blue Check. Jet Blue.
And the pilot would be like, hey, this is Blue Check 419er approach.
It's the call sign.
Yeah, the call sign is like 1180 BC Blue Check.
Ten, 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 ten.
Ten, ten, ten.
What if you shared one with Carl Lentz? I feel like there would be an arm wrestling of for like decor and the odor of the plane. So Ted, feel like you may have some thoughts on this. If Carl Lentz was to be your jet timeshare buddy, when you got on the plane, what would make you just sort of throw your bags down and be like, "Are you serious? He did this." What would be that thing?
Him laying shirtless all over the upholstery.
It would just smell. The whole thing would just be wafting with like cologne.
Like
it would smell like hair wax and Axe body spray. I would have to get it. Like,
he got spray tan on the leather again.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be spray tan all over the place. It'd be awful. But I'll tell you what would be nice about sharing a jet with Carl Lentz would be
no seatbelts.
He would pay for most of it. I'd send the bill to Carl Lentz more often than not.
Yeah, your timeshare would be like a 90-10 split, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'd be willing to overlook a lot of spray tanner and Axe body spray in order to get that 90-10 split. So, Carl, if you're listening, I know you are. Call me. Call my people. Maybe we can work something out. That's all I'm saying. Pipe, what about you? Who are you sharing a jet with?
Oh, man. Who would I choose to share it with? I think I would share it with somebody who had such overwhelming guilt at the wealth that they would simply never use it. So it would basically be mine. Like my dad, for example. Like he'd be the perfect timeshare because he'd be like, no, I'm flying Delta coach class and I'm going to go use the private jet. And he can be wartime lifestyle and I will be whatever private jet lifestyle.
Dude, Delta coach is worse than wartime lifestyle. That's like,
yeah, I know you'd rather sit in like one of those jump seats in the back of a B-27 bomber.
Exactly. Wear a helmet and have that like netting next to you than sit in Delta coach. You are right though. Your dad would be the perfect like jet, you know, timeshare companion because of the guilt situation.
Or somebody like Eugene Peterson who just never travels. You know, they're so intent on what they do that, you know, their name's on it. They have plenty of money to pay for their portion and you just get free. You just get to use it freely.
I tell you who travels a lot is one Ron Martin. I wouldn't want to share with him.
No, that would be a challenge.
Going to Louisville every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, at least everywhere he flies is on the way to somewhere else though. Right. So it's like, just a quick hop. We'll just
be like, you can come as long as you want to come to Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Big R, what's on the travel schedule next, man? Where are you going,
dude? I'm free. I'm free until Jan, where I head over to California for a little while. And so yeah, I'm not doing. I don't travel in December. It goes along with my Christmas.
It's gonna be tough, baby. You'll have to get to know the house again and kind of get.
I'm gonna have to get to know the house, get to know Ashtown a little bit better in this particular season. But I do that every year, so that's how I get to know my town in December.
Your parishioners really, they get to see you a lot in December.
They actually get to see me. I actually do this thing called preaching. I preach a little bit.
You
I open my mouth.
It's a four sermon series in December, and it feels
exactly.
Like
it's the longest series I do all year. It's a 4-week series for Advent.
That's right.
Enjoy.
I love it. I love it. Well, that segues perfectly into our first topic. And this is akin to the who would you share a timeshare a jet with, in that. It's who would you invite to your ideal Thanksgiving dinner? So three people that you would want around the table for like optimal conversation, entertainments. Now, this is a big R topic. So are these people living or dead? We can go back into history or we're going current people?
Baby, you can do whatever you want. My whole thought with this question was like, what would be something where you could kind of like just sort of sit back and like enjoy the dialogue? Whether you want to engage in it or not, like what would give you the biggest kick, you know, on a Thanksgiving? You know, there's nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. They're just coming over. You got nothing to gain or lose from it, but it might be kind of funny or fun just to hear them all riffing.
Fascinating.
Together.
Big R, I want you to go first. This was your deal. So I want you to lay some on us, three people for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going a little more like, I'm kind of keeping this a little more tribal in some ways, but then, so I'm keeping it a little more like, you know, theologian based. I think it would be super funny. Like if I could get like, say, you know, if I could get like, say Matt Chandler, like Rob Bell and like Carl Lentz, somebody like in between those two guys, you know, like sitting around the table together and then just casually drop some like really like, you know, like hot button, like theological topics and just say, hey boys, I need you to be really honest right now about what you're about to say when I drop a topic on the table and just see where they all go with it and just see how all the politeness eventually just runs thin and goes out the door. And what it eventually turns into is just a horrible Thanksgiving, which is what, you know, typically what's going to happen around the table anyway in two days.
Absolutely.
But I would love to hear them with like nothing to lose. Like they're going to walk out of the house. They're never going to see each other again. So they can feel free. And I would love to hear the dialogue.
Now I've got a practical question for you concerning the menu. So what does Robbie B eat at Thanksgiving? I'm sure he doesn't eat meat. So you'd have to provide a little
tofu.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll bring in Oprah's chef and we'll see what he wants. And
you got to think that through because you can't get a tofurkey in Ashland.
No, we'll work it out. Absolutely.
You're going to have to drive to Columbus for that. So
yeah, no, I know. We'll FedEx in a Tofurky, and you know, we'll do it upright. And I know Carl Lentz will probably have his personal assistant and his personal trainer with him. So we'll figure out what they need, and Chandler will just be there by himself, slightly peeved, and we'll whatever he needs, we'll do that, and it'll be great.
Dude, Lindsay's doing, he's doing whole 60 probably with you. So you guys can get scrubbed.
Lindsay might be doing a whole 3-0 with me. I mean, let's be honest about that. That may be true.
Yeah. Yeah. So no mashed potatoes for the two.
No, yeah. No, no potatoes for, no, we can have potatoes, baby. We can still have potatoes. We just, you know.
Dude, of all those people, which of their wives do you think Big M would get along the best with?
D.A. Carson's wife.
Well, obviously.
No, I'm kidding. I really don't know. It would probably be like Robbie B's. It'd probably be a shocker, right? Mm. Like Robbie B's wife would probably like, she'd probably like get up from the table at one point, grab Big M, take her to the hallway and go, you know, all of this is just a bunch of nonsense. And I don't even agree with anything they're saying, including my husband, Robbie B. You know, like I feel like she would come to the table with some of that kind
of stuff. I bet she's the cool one. Like she's probably some cool, like down to earth Midwestern chick that he met at college or whatever. I bet she's pretty cool.
Who regularly stands off to the side and rolls her eyes when he goes on one of his like making up Hebrew words riffs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Rob's doing it again.
She's like, I don't know what anybody's talking about. I read my Tim Keller devotional every morning. Like, I don't know what this dude's been on about now for 10 years. You know, that's probably her.
Dude, that'd be incredible if she read a Timmy K devotion every
Mrs. B.
Yeah.
And Mrs. B is what we'll call her. Yeah.
I love it. Pipe, what about you? Three people for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, the first thing that came to mind was to get Jared C. and his two best friends, the other Jared and Carl Wentz, in a room.
Yes.
Because I want to know if Twitter fisticuffs Jared C. is equally as what's the word I'm looking for? Strident across a table laden with, you know, sweet potatoes and turkey and whatever other crap people
eat at Thanksgiving. You know the answer to that question.
Of course I know the answer, but I want to see it in person. I want to see the shrinking violet. That's what I want to see.
Oh.
But the other thing is I think those other two would just be amusing to watch at Thanksgiving. I feel like that would be entertaining.
Dude,
to me.
Like so J-A-R-R-I-D and Carl Lentz share some qualities. Like I feel like they're essentially on the same trajectory. Am I wrong about that?
I think the other Jared wants to be Carl Lentz when he grows up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Dude.
Is that a fact, Pipe? Is that the vibe?
I mean, is anything we say on here a fact? I thought we covered that a couple episodes ago.
Oh, sorry. I went into dangerous territory.
don't fact check this thing.
Sorry, I just said the F word, everybody. Dude, forgive me.
Three is a tough number, Pipe, because the dynamic that I'm sensing at your house is going to be Carl Lentz and Jared with an eye, like kind of pairing off and talking about fashion, talking about their workouts. And you're going to be stuck kind of entertaining Jared C. So as long as you're okay with that, like I feel like, you know, it'd be fine.
I mean, thank God for football, right?
But yeah. You can flip on the Vikings and you and
he'll just be tweeting everything you say for the next 3 hours.
Is he still tweeting a lot about football?
Just a tad.
You know, Patriots games.
Okay.
Just, I would say, what would you say, Pipe? Maybe 200-300 tweets per game, just minimum. Nothing big, nothing major.
Yeah, I mean, it's only once a week for 3 hours that he tweets about football. But it's, you know, it's rigorously during those 3 hours.
Mm, interesting.
I think another fun combination would be to get Ronnie, Trogues, and you, Ted.
Oh, poor Trogues.
Oh, boy.
Poor Trogues. That would just be a disaster.
I can't make it.
Dude.
That'd be incredible. You know what? And in true awkward family fashion, I would confront Trogues about why I'm the only like evangelical who's ever published a book who hasn't been on his podcast. I would choose Thanksgiving to make that confrontation. And it would stop the room. You would hear like forks clanging against plates really awkwardly.
Maybe and then somebody like, there'd be a pause. Yeah, and somebody would be like, this turkey is delicious.
Exactly.
Baby, it's kind of like live in Louisville when you didn't get any garb, man. I mean, there's like something about that, baby. I don't know what it is.
Actually, it's not like that at all. You just wanted to mention that. That was the clunkiest radio segue ever. It reminds me of that time when I got stuff and you didn't.
Ted, who would you invite if you could invite three people?
Oh man, that's a great question.
Maybe you should pick famous people who people actually care about, because Ronnie and I fell down on the job when it came to that.
Pretty much.
Well, dude, my problem is Pipe. I'm thinking about football people, and our listeners hate sports, clearly. So if you want to just...
Well, we did get a request at Live in Louisville for more sports episodes, although we also get complaints. So I think it's a bit of a divided household on that front. So I think you're safe to mention sports because we haven't mentioned any yet.
Yeah, I feel like... Wow, okay,
Pipe, so, that was a stretch, Pipe. But yeah, carry on, T.
I would go Bill Belichick, John Gruden, and Brad Pitt.
John Gruden, is he related to Wayne? I mean, who is this guy?
Yeah, no, not at all related to Wayne. Although that would be fascinating if he was.
Systematic football?
Two football coaches and an actor. I just feel like it'd be interesting conversation.
Because of Moneyball?
Yeah, because of Moneyball. And just, I feel like Brad would be a lively conversationalist.
Really?
Also,
He strikes me as somebody who's only lively on screen.
Ah, that could be. That could be. At least I'd know, though. You know, I could put the speculation to rest.
Okay, let's revise the question. Three people from Hollywood, so three actors and or actresses you would invite, because the Brad Pitt one got me thinking about who would actually be fun from Hollywood.
Who would actually be fun from Hollywood, actors or actresses? Gosh. I mean, including if you take away all the actors who have like sexually assaulted someone, you know, within the last
that we're aware
that
of,
that leaves
right.
like four actors. So. I don't know who those four actors are is the problem.
I mean, as far as we know, Brad Pitt has not. I mean, there's no allegations that I'm aware of. So he could still be on your list.
Dude, how about this, man? I'm going to go with all my man crushes. All right. Which would be an intimidating room to be in, Pipe. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Brad Pitt. Oh gosh. Chris Hemsworth. All right.
Uh-huh.
Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth, and, this guy, Jason Momoa. He's the new Aquaman, and he was in Game of Thrones, which I never watched, obviously, but...
Oh, he's like the... He looks like a real-life like Viking or something.
If
long hair, big beard.
Yeah, I could have the look of any like existing person currently, it would be him. Like, I would want to look like that.
Wow.
Yeah, which I think it would be an all-dudes Thanksgiving dinner because I wouldn't let my wife in the room with any of the...
that seems wise.
Yeah, exactly. So my wife and kids would be on their own for Thanksgiving, which creates sort of an awkward dynamic in my family.
It's a bit awkward.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I mean, it could be like one of those Friendsgiving. You do it on like the Wednesday before or something, and so it's you're not sacrificing your family for handsome devils.
Friendsgiving with Brad Pitt, Jason Momoa, and Chris Hemsworth. What about you, Pipe? Three from Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I would steal one of yours. So he could have a busy Friendsgiving day. It would be Chris Hemsworth, Matt Damon, and probably Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh,
wow! Because in terms of people who every time I've ever seen them on screen in a non acting capacity, they just seem really funny and likable. Those three, like I feel like I could just sit back and they would tell stories and make me laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're all very good looking men.
They are. They really are.
Wow. Wow.
Ryan? They are Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with this one, man. I'm going to go with Michael Cera.
Okay. Dude, the original scrawny hipster. I love that. You guys could...
Michael Cera, Will Ferrell, and George W. Bush.
Ooh. Dude, I was just thing with George W. Bush, meaning that I was in a room full of like 2,000 other people, and he was hilarious.
I just think it would be that combination to me would be.
Plus, Will Ferrell could do his Bush impression with
so
Bush
funny.
At the table.
It would just be so funny, man, just to see what might
Dude,
pop
Ferrell
out of that.
Ferrell would be a great dinner companion.
Just awkward Sarah, like sitting there not knowing what to say because he's still angry at like GW. And like you'd have Ferrell sitting there going, yeah, I'm not really mad about anything. I'm just wondering when the food's going to get here, but I should probably start, you know, being funny a little bit. And then GW is probably going to be the funniest guy out of the three, but nobody's expecting that.
Dude, now, who do you think would have on more jackets between you and Michael Cera?
Oh, dude.
More layers.
I mean,
more jackets.
Yeah.
More
I mean, he's skinnier, so probably him.
He's scrawnier. So, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Call me that again.
You put the Ronnie in scrawny.
Say it again.
Baby, you put the Ronnie in scrawny.
All right, I feel better about myself now. I just need a little bit of
made somebody real uncomfortable on the other end of these microphones.
I needed a little reinforcement, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, Resonate Recordings, don't take that the wrong way. We're just having a little camaraderie.
We can cut that out if it's too provocative. Well, speaking of provocative.
Not a thing we've been accused of the many things we've been accused of.
Speaking of provocative and the holidays, boys, I want to know this from the two of you. These are all Ronnie Martin kind of holiday themed questions. Number two is, what item would make you go out on midnight on Black Friday if they were on sale? So what are you leaving the house for on Black Friday at midnight if they were on sale?
Dude.
You brought up the question, but you didn't have an answer.
I know, dude. Like, okay, so I've never been a Black Friday guy, like, ever. It's just like, I know all these people that do it.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of baffled me. I don't have anything against it at all. Like, it almost sounds like it could be fun. But like, dude, at like 1 a.m., I'm like, I'm not worth anything because I'm tired. Mm. So I always just think, oh, man. And then the next morning, it's going to take me like 3 days to recoup from this because I'm getting old now. So, I don't know. I would rather just sleep in and pay the extra $25 the next morning.
Well, that's good radio. Good
topic. I was going to say, thanks for ripping the heart out of the question that you posed, Ronald.
I'd rather just wake up the next morning, pay the extra $100, $500,000. It doesn't matter. I'm on the happy round. I can do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. This is what it would be. If I knew that all the Christmas stuff that I was going to be getting ready to buy on Friday, which is when I do all my Christmas stuff, was going to be like 75% off. I mean, dude, I might step in. I might literally step in for that. But that would be it. There's nothing else.
Pipe, what about you?
Oh, man. I was going to say a blue check, but I already have one of those. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jersey. That's a trigger for Jersey.
Yeah, sorry, trigger warning. I think playoff tickets to the Vikings for the Vikings would be high on the list. And I'm not going to trigger warning the anti-sports people on that one. I haven't been to a Vikings game live in like 15, 20 years. And so, and the fact that they're likely to make the playoffs. If I could guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs and get tickets at Black Friday prices, that would be something that I would wait outside in sub-Arctic temperatures for those.
So I'm curious about this, Pipe. What was the last era of Viking team that you saw in person? And I'm assuming this was at the Metrodome, am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, two consecutive seasons, actually. So there was it was the Randall Cunningham – Randy Moss Vikings in 98.
That's a good iteration of the
Vikings. That was at Lambeau Field when they took down the Packers. That was a transcendent experience.
Absolutely.
And then I think a year or two later, so it would have been, I guess those would have been the Dante Culpepper also against the Packers, and they beat them at the Metrodome. So,
Pipe, hold on, help me here, boys. Is it like some impossible dream to get Vikings tickets or something?
No, but playoff tickets are really expensive. So you said this was like what would get you to wait outside on Black Friday. Well, Black Friday is usually like 50, 70% discounts on things. So
dude,
I would want the 50 or 70% discount on those. Because otherwise it becomes something like it's like, well, kids, you can eat or dad can go see a playoff game.
Priorities, so, ma'am. But what about the Metro? No, maybe. What about the Metrodome, man? Does that not exist anymore?
It does not exist. It's the it's been replaced by US Bank Stadium, which is a behemoth glass and steel structure, which is really impressive, but not quite the same sort of campy home field advantage.
Did they tear down the Metrodome, or is it still there?
They did. They dismantled it because they built the new stadium on the site of the Metrodome.
Oh, so they just built something prettier and better.
Yes, prettier, better, way more expensive. It's like a $1 billion stadium.
Oh, dude.
Pipe, did you see
it just kind of reminds me of a...
Did you see where they tore down the Georgia Dome the other day? Oh,
yeah, they imploded
it. Yeah, that thing's like not even that old. That's crazy.
But they built the new stadium right next to it. And that was right next to where the Hawks play. So there's like three stadiums right in a row there. They had to get rid of one of them.
Absolutely.
Is that kind of the trend now? Because they did that where I'm at, where they build like, you know, eight stadiums all like touching each other. Like, is that like the thing to do? I mean, what's the deal with that?
I think it's usually they build a stadium. They usually build a stadium in a place where there's some sort of unusable or crummy property, like an old warehouse or some sort of industrial area. And then it's got a big footprint. So like in Seattle, when they built the baseball stadium and the football stadium, it was like that. It was like, this is just a big warehouse area. And then they put those up there. And one of them might have been the footprint of where the Sky Dome was too. And so, and then the other thing is there's like acres and acres of parking lots around them usually. Mm. So they're just sort of a big footprint for them to do that.
Got it.
Ted, what would get you up on Black Friday to go out at midnight?
I would get up if everybody in my family left the house and I had a quiet house. That would get me out of bed. The downtime. I would do it for the downtime. I'd be like, no, you guys go, have fun. And then I would enjoy a few hours to myself.
Nice.
But that's literally the only thing that I would get excited enough about.
Browsing Amazon and letting things come to you for free 2 days later.
Dude, that's all I ever do. I never shop in public. I don't interact with the general public anymore. And I can't imagine a scenario in which I would want to.
Are you just clicking on Amazon? What are you doing, Big T? Give us some insight.
I actually do a lot of eBay. Yeah, I do a lot of eBay. I enjoy eBay.
Dude, that's old school, man. That's old school.
It is. All right. So I do a lot of eBay. I enjoy that.
It's like shopping with a touch of competition.
I do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of addictive, man. I enjoy that. So I'm doing a lot of eBay. I'm doing a little Amazon, you know, I mean, specialty websites here and there, but,
baby, what kind of stuff are you buying on eBay? Are you talking about personal items or like gifts?
Both. Yeah. Both.
Oh, all right. So like Christmas shopping, you're doing a little eBay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm getting, you know, new stuff, obviously, but
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing a little Christmas shopping.
Oh, man. Oh, that's nice, man.
Yeah. I don't leave the house, man. I don't leave the house.
That's good. That's great quality.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Incarnation.
It's healthy. It's healthy. Yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah, I feel like it's healthy. I'm. It's working for me. I'm enjoying it. Boys, we have time for one more topic, and this one is decidedly less healthy, less festive, and probably less fun. But the third topic is: should we be waiting in fear for the minute sexual harassment allegations expose evangelicalism, and what will that look like? Pipe, you are the son of the most famous evangelical any of us know. So I'm going to let you weigh in on that first. So we're in an environment now, if people are new to the planet, in which everybody in Hollywood and lots of people in politics are sort of going being exposed for these sexual allegations. So is that going to hit evangelicalism, and what will it look like?
I think it's going to keep hitting evangelicalism because this has already happened. Okay. It's, you know, there was the whole thing with Sovereign Grace a few years ago that kind of didn't get dealt with. There's always allegations at churches. Mm. You know, if you follow like the Religion News Service or whatever, they do a pretty good job of keeping tabs on news stories and in the religious world. There's obviously, this isn't evangelicalism, but in the church world, there's been scandals for decades with Catholic priests. So I feel like the church started this trend. Hollywood was the late adopter on this one, or at least the late one to be exposed. Sure. So yeah, I think it's absolutely a problem. I think, and I think that there are stories yet to be broken. I think it's a unique environment to try to break a story like this because religious conservatism and spiritual authority or misuse spiritual authority will keep people quiet much more than anything else will. Mm. Because people will feel guilt, they feel shame, and those things are more powerful than money and threats. Mm. So Hollywood could only keep a lid on this for so long, whereas a conservative church can keep a lid on this stuff, I think, much more successfully, especially because everything can be so insular. You know, it's sort of when somebody attacks a pastor with allegations, there are times a whole church will turn on that person. Sure. And you know, so it sort of devours itself. So yeah, I think it's happening. I think it's covered up more successfully, mm-hmm. intentionally or not. And I think it's going to get real ugly before it's over. But I also think it's probably a really good thing for the church.
Big R, man of the cross.
That it's getting exposed, not right, that it's happening. Yeah, yeah, just
of course. Big R, what do you
think? Yeah, no, that was kind of what I was thinking about when Pipe was riffing, was that it's Yeah, I think it's something that needs to happen. It has to happen, just like we're seeing in Hollywood right now. I mean, there has to be in this moment where these things become exposed. And again, I mean, for men that have been like in this position or behind the pulpit and they've been living a double life and it's been undealt with, I mean, we would say that that's a good thing, right? It's going to be messy, but we would say that it's better that level of sin and, destruction be exposed rather than just continuing to perpetuate in silence. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some shakeups in the future that are, I don't know if they're going to shock us, but they're going to shock us, right? And we're going to be like, okay, I didn't see that one coming, or this is a real bummer, or like, I'm super bummed about that. All the typical responses we're going to have, but it seems like it's something that's on the horizon. Pipe, I didn't really think about what you just said, and I'd almost like you to chat about this for a minute, about some things that maybe have been exposed, but they're far more easily covered up.
Well, I just think like I don't want to throw any particular group under a bus as like the primary example, just the ones that come readily to mind. So the stuff that happened with Sovereign Grace, for example, that was such a mess that was handled so badly. And I don't know all the details. I haven't read all the court records, although they have been made available, but essentially there were minimal consequences at the legal level for those allegations. And I mean, those are allegations of sexual abuse against children that dated back decades. And that's why they couldn't be upheld as statute of limitations, I think. But then there's other situations, like so many of the instances where pastors are taken down for having an affair, that is really close to being a sexual predator, because it's using a position of power to seduce and possibly to manipulate. And the difference between manipulation and, preying on somebody is what? It's pretty marginal. So I think there are all sorts of instances like that where there are pastors who have been who have fallen into infidelity, as we like to say, but who are really just sexual predators, mm-hmm. that are preying on those who are emotionally wounded, those who are weak, those who are, then there are those who use their position of authority and power to command certain things and put people in compromising situations. I think all of that, and for whatever reason, it rarely gets called what it is. Rarely do people point the finger and say, that's being a sexual predator. That's not only is that, sinful because it's adulterous, but it's predatory and even legally wrong.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Pipe, Big T, you still there? This one take you off your game?
Yeah.
What do you think, man?
You guys covered it, I think. I mean, it's, what more is there to say, really? It's horrible. It will be horrible when the stories come out. And yeah. I mean, no one's looking forward to it. But yeah, probably talked about in the light is,
well, here's a,
certainly better than like secret and hidden. So, yeah, but no, I have nothing substantive to add.
Well, here's a question. Maybe this will get us riffing a little bit. Here's a question that came up while we were talking, right?
Yeah. And
Big T, you answer this one first, if you can. Does it strike you as odd? And this is, I know we're getting into sensitive areas here. But does it strike you as odd that with all of the Hollywood stuff going on, that there really hasn't been anything that's broken from the church?
I mean,
I think that's kind of
the optimist in me would like to think that maybe it's not there. And, maybe the church is living at a higher standard than Hollywood. I would like to think that could be a thing. I think with everything popping in Hollywood and elsewhere now, if something was going to pop, this would be the time. So maybe the fact that it hasn't is a good thing.
But I just had a conversation with a friend the other day who used to work at a church, and a staff member at that church was let go while he was there for making lewd phone calls to an assistant in the office. Mm-hmm. And which is exactly the kind of behavior they're talking about publicly with guys like Charlie Rose now and a variety of other high power people. So, but that never makes the news. There are no charges pressed. The church handles everything in-house. So there are, my guess is there are hundreds and hundreds of cases annually of sure. people crossing boundaries that could get them put in jail that the church handles internally instead of handing over to the authorities. Mm. And I'm not just talking about children, because I feel like some strides in recent years have been made in how the church handles abuse against children. But I'm just talking about the mistreatment of women specifically and the way that women are targeted. So I think it doesn't pop because the church, biblical standards can be abused to protect sinners in this case. So commands like don't gossip, commands like forgive, commands, you know, all of these things that are good, but also can cover up things that ought to be dealt with legally. We don't like to invite the legal system into the governance of a church to take down somebody who needs to be taken down.
Yeah, but Pipe, do you think, I mean, that's interesting, but it's like, I think, so this is what these are my thoughts. So it seems like a bigger church that's more of an institution, it seems like they would have the power and the lawyers and all of that to maybe quiet something. And are you saying that like a smaller church, it's just so out of the public eye that it just would never get any press anyway?
Well, that and like there's the conscience aspect of it where I think about dozens of people I know who go to 200, 300 person churches. A lot of them are country churches, smaller churches. And if something like this happened at their church, nobody would say anything. It would just be sort of like the elephant in the room that nobody acknowledges because you can't cast – you don't want to sling mud at the church. You want to protect the name of the church. And so they feel like they are protecting the name of Jesus by covering up or by not addressing, just trying to make these evil things go away. So if we can just dismiss them, make them go away. I mean, and then there's the twisted things like what's happened with Roy Moore in Alabama, where there's a certain brand of
yes.
white evangelical who will defend him.
Yes.
And they just say like, oh, those silly girls are making up those claims and things, you know, and things along those lines, which is just, I mean, there's not even words for how ridiculous and awful that is. And so it's just like, it's this weird conglomeration. So there are good people trying to do the right thing with the wrong result. Then there are bad people doing the wrong thing with the wrong result. And all of it can sort of keep a lid on this in the church.
Yeah. Well said, man.
Boys, I got to go.
And on that note.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I gotta bounce. I got another thing, but we truly
gotta
have
go
one.
Got to go do some Amazon shopping.
I gotta do some Amazon and eBay shopping.
But, eBay.
eBay. Sorry.
No, we've wandered to and fro, boys, from private truly. Jets to sexual assault allegations, which really those two things probably aren't far apart if we're being honest with each other. So maybe it's best that we don't have private jets, boys. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
That's my
in the interest of full disclosure, we're not nearly as close to private jets as we led on, listeners, lest you misunderstand.
That's true. That was satire too. So just
yeah, you know, that'll be after T4R, we'll be able to afford that.
Yeah, I mean after April we will be. So yeah, if you haven't gotten your tickets for T4R, which is Live in Louisville 2, that's the alternate title. go to happyrantpodcast.com and check that out. You know, just browse a little bit. Just check into what we're offering. Maybe we'll offer a Black Friday deal on those, boys. Maybe we'll knock a couple of bucks off of it. I don't know. That's a question for the business meeting. But we have wandered to and fro throughout the show, as we are wont to do. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.